Cape Talk. A worldview from London with Adam Gilchrist.
Good morning, good sir. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm a little consternated because we've got this big reopening of pubs and restaurants and cinemas and campsites and things coming up on Saturday. And yet I've discovered that my two local pubs are not opening on Saturday. They're delaying things and looking at measures and sanitising and perspex screens and things. So it's all very well having open pubs, but not if they're nowhere near you.
Exactly. I'm sorry, Adam. We had this as well. I mean, you know, the delay of the reopening of places, whether it be a retailer, because, yeah, it's one thing to get the announcement from government. It's quite another to be absolutely at the ready to receive people in the safest
way possible.
And
how it applies. Yeah,
correct.
How does it apply to oneself? That's the thing.
Indeed.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, hoping you'll get your pint in the neighborhood soon, in safety.
In the next month.
Correct. Yes. Let's talk about this. Yeah, I saw this massive drugs bust. And when did the IS, the Islamic State, become pharmaceutical?
Well, exactly. But putting those two ends together is rather extraordinary, isn't it? But, I mean, the seizure itself is extraordinary. This is thought to be the largest, certainly the most expensive ever haul of illegal drugs seized anywhere. This stash was found inside large drums of paper and gear wheels in some shipping containers in the port of Salerno near Naples. And Italian police basically have unearthed 84 million counterfeit amphetamine pills, a highly addictive synthetic stimulant called Captagon, which is actually banned in many countries, but is still used in some. In fact, it's thought that Islamic State fighters took this stuff, or certainly took amphetamines, to inhibit fear and ward off tiredness and keep going. So what they found is 14 tons of the stuff worth over $1 billion. And at which point you think, well, if this was, you know, potentially going to finance Islamic State into the future, boy, $1.1 billion worth of income, that should surely severely dent Islamic State, if nothing else.
For sure. But it just makes me wonder what else is out there. Let's talk.
Well, yes.
You know what I mean? Like they've got an economy going like an actual state. Oh, that's scary.
Even though their caliphate is meant to be over,
right?
All of this must have been done surreptitiously in sort of, you imagine, kind of back villages or little hovels in hills in Syria or Iraq. And how on earth would they operate to produce that number of pills and get them shipped as well? And
a
lot of stuff to work out somehow.
Indeed. What's happening in the Czech Republic?
Well, all the world, of course, is worried about second peaks, second waves. In the United States, as we now know, they've got this first wave, and I think they had 50,000 cases in one day. So they're going upwards and upwards, and South America likewise. And yet in the Czech Republic, they've just held a party to give the coronavirus a symbolic farewell. Thousands of guests sat on the famous Charles Bridge in Prague, sharing food and drinks. And indeed, people were encouraged to share with neighbors. There was no social distancing, sign of any masks or gloves or any of that. I mean, yes, it's true. The Czech Republic has not been massively affected by COVID. 12,000 infections in a country of 10 million people. That's quite a low number, isn't it? And the number of deaths is very low as well. But the idea of having a party when some parts of the world are really struggling, those parts of the world that aren't struggling with the illness are struggling with the economic impact, doesn't smack terribly well, does it?
And also, weren't they the country that made mask wearing mandatory from very early? I mean, I find that very odd.
I suppose maybe they took the right measures at the right time. Although the odd thing is that though they were in Prague, which is one of the great European tourist destinations, without a tourist in sight. So that probably should have told them something.
That's true. although that bridge is beautiful. I love it. The Queen has been chatting to world leaders.
Yeah, she's been doing a little phone around, which I think is a lovely idea. As the Queen sat at her desk looking at her watch, thinking, OK, what's the time difference? Who can I call? And then calling them. So she's spoken to, as far as we can tell, because there aren't that many details, but three or four world leaders, including Donald Trump, which in itself is rather fascinating. Of course, this information was spilled by the Donald speaking to Her Madge. They have met before at Buckingham Palace, I think it was, wasn't it? 6 months ago they met. Anyway,
yes.
President Trump, we know, wished her a happy 94th birthday, expressed his condolences for the lives lost. No doubt the Queen reciprocated that. President Trump, we know, spoke from his bedroom in the White House as well.
Yeah.
So if you're getting a phone call from the Queen, you'd want to prepare yourself, wouldn't
Definitely.
You, properly? I'm not sure going to the bedroom. I mean, I would want to be at a desk with notes in front of me.
Absolutely.
And things like that, just to make sure I didn't waver off the point, and particularly if I were
in your number ones as well. Anyway, interesting.
A few things you have to remember. But, yeah, the Queen's charm offensive, soft diplomacy, or maybe she just wanted some normal people to talk to. Because if you hold up at Windsor Castle with the rest of the royal family and a few soldiers, you'd probably want to talk to some normal people, in inverted commas, and
this
I'm sort of including Donald Trump in that.
And her fave is all the way in Canada, so that's fair. All right, Adam,
yeah.
Thank you so much for that. Catch up with you tomorrow. That's our Worldview with Adam Gilchrist.